interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. And it is a Tuesday, June 18 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live and kicking off on 1037 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. 2 hours of the good stuff today as we come at you from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. A lot of great guest action today. All of it in the 5 o'clock hour. That means we'll have a chance to talk to lead off the program. And I want to talk to you and then with you about three different topics. That's right. We go split screen to begin the program. Three different topics. Let's begin with the New Orleans Saints. Per Deanna Russini of the Mothership, the Saints have entered negotiations with Michael Thomas. So underway, talks, which according to Russini, could make number 13 the highest paid wide receiver in the league. And he led the league, Michael Thomas did, in receptions a season ago. With 125, this is very welcome news. The Saints, unlike the Pelicans, don't need a lot of future picks. They don't need a lot of cap space. They just need to hold what they got. Because what they got is likely a top two or three lineup in all of the NFL. And so after locking down Cam Jordan and likely making him a lifetime Saint, we all thought that the next step was Michael Thomas. Now we know that is the case. And we've spoken with a number of beat writers, anchors, reporters from the Big Easy over the last week and a half since Cam Jordan's deal. And all of them have said the same thing on this program, at least. They think Michael Thomas and that deal get worked out before training camp in August. What a relief that would be. And what an interesting thought that Michael Thomas, not Odell Beckham, not Julio Jones, not Antonio Brown, Michael Thomas might be the highest paid wideout in the league. He's well on his way to earning it, and hopefully, a little bit like Cam Jordan, he's well on his way to becoming a lifetime New Orleans Saint. This for Michael Thomas, the All-Pro, again, led the league last year with 125 grabs, and he might be the highest paid guy doing it by the time September rolls around. All right, we'll continue the split screen. But we'll stay in New Orleans. The latest on the Pels and what's certain to be a busy week and a really likely transformative week in the franchise's future. The Pelicans and the Hawks, according to a report from Jonathan Givney, again of the Four Letter Network, Pels and the Hawks discussing a first-round swap of picks. The Hawks covet the number 4 overall pick, and the Pelicans seem amenable, and boy, am I right there with this train of thought. The Pels, in return for number 4, would like number 8 and number 10 overall. Wouldn't that be something sweet? But do you pull the trigger before Thursday early evening? I'm going to tell you why the answer to that question may be no. Again, there are reports that continue to cycle like a tornado, and that's what happens this time of year right before the draft, and it's this way before every professional league's draft. Something worth monitoring, the Knicks reportedly tomorrow will be working out point guard Darius Garland out of Vanderbilt. And the Knicks, again reportedly, giving serious consideration to making Garland the number 3 overall pick. Wow. Can you imagine if R.J. Barrett from Duke falls into the Pels' lap at 4? That would be one of the scenarios in which I am very much okay with David Griffin and Trajan Langdon holding on to the number 4 overall pick. If they come out of this thing with Zion Williamson and his teammate, we would have to imagine his buddy, R.J. Barrett, roll out the red carpet in the Crescent City, and let's ride out. That's all I need. We'll figure out what to do with some of the Lakers trio later. So that's why I'm not sure that you're going to hear a deal get done, maybe until Griffin and Langdon know exactly what's going down with the number three overall pick. If they can get Barrett, I'm not sure that they need to or they want to shop for the number 8 and 10 overall picks. But if it goes chalk, and if the Knicks don't go full out, bat bleep crazy, James Dolan Knicks, if this thing goes Zion, Morant, Barrett, then I'm all about letting the Hawks take 4 in a draft where that fourth guy is uncertain, and give me 8 and 10, no question. Because the Pels also have some second-round bullets that they can let out of the clip as well. So a lot to monitor there. Finally, our split screen goes in a third direction. And we'll go west from New Orleans to Houston. The Astros did drop last night's game 3-2. It's the first of a 7-game roadie. They lost at Cincinnati. Wade Miley was sparkling through 4. Problem is, they brought him out for the 5th inning. Tonight, game 2 begins at 6:10. Clint and I are going to bring you midway through Astro Launch tonight. We got you until 6 o'clock. We'll let you hear a little bit of Ford and Sparks until 6:10. And then Justin Verlander will toe the mound for the Astros. Reds are going to bring Anthony Desclafani to the bump. But the bigger news, and the reason I bring up the Stros in our opening segment, Jose Altuve. There's a sighting of the former MVP in Cincinnati today. He is back from rehab, but don't get too excited about what that means for tonight. All signs point toward Altuve being activated for tomorrow's game against the Reds. So there you have it. A lot of news off top. The Saints in negotiations with Michael Thomas. According to the mothership, they might make him the highest paid wideout in the league. The Pelicans, they're very interested in the Hawks' 8th and 10th picks. Might just give up the number 4 overall pick for them. But I'm betting they don't do it until they know what's happening with 3 and the Knicks. Tomorrow, expected to work out Darius Garland. That might just be due diligence, but if they pass up on R.J. Barrett, I would love to see the Pels jump all over a second Dookie in the top 4 picks. And then finally, the former MVP from 2 years ago, Jose Altuve, as the Stros are looking to take it back. In 2019, they're going to get back an all-around clubhouse presence and an on-field OBP nightmare. Jose Altuve, right now, looks like he'll make his return from the IL tomorrow. All right, big program today for us. Here's what we've got in mind. In our very next segment, going to let you hear some clips from Devery Henderson, Opelousas' finest. LSU, the Saints' finest. He was with RP3 this morning. The best from that interview is coming at you next. That's our only scheduled guest, if you will. It's a Q&A replay of sorts, but that's all we got on the books for hour number one, because I think you're really going to dig our sink or swim question at half past this hour. Again, we'll get to that at 4:30. At 5:05, Shea Dixon talking LSU recruiting, his thoughts on the latest commitment from John Aaron High School, Patrick Jenkins, and what's next along the defensive line for LSU. And then we'll flip the script. He's already told me he wants to put me in David Griffin's shoes for that interview. Oh, boy. So a double dose of Shea Dixon, 5:05 until 5:30, and fired up. At 5:45, Eric Mouton, good friend of the program, head basketball coach, athletic director for the Ascension Episcopal Blue Gators. We're going to cover a lot of ground with Eric Mouton on our way out today at 5:45. So locked and loaded on a Tuesday. Don't you go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're coming back quickly on one.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Round. 16 minutes after 4 o'clock, we're getting around to more of the best sports talk in Acadiana. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. I'm pretty amped about today's sink or swim question. You'll get it in 15 minutes. It's already up, 103.7 The Game, Facebook and Twitter, if you want to make your thoughts known. Maybe you're just not the calling type. That's okay. You can use Twitter fingers. You can go on Facebook. Let us know. Again, I'll let the cat out of the bag for those listening very shortly. But when we have royalty, and I mean really high-level area royalty on the gridiron here inside the 237 Roof Studios, yeah, we got to air that out. And earlier today, Raymond Parse III, host of RP3 and Company, got together with Devery Boo Henderson from Opelousas to LSU to the Saints. He had about as storied a run as you can really narrate for a local kid made incredibly good. And so I want to pick and choose my favorite clips from that interview and make sure that our afternoon crowd gets it. Again, our thanks to Devery Henderson for coming into Acadiana Sports Station. Let's begin with LSU. And right off top, what was it like winning a national championship and not just doing it in 2003, but ending what was a 45-year drought for a football-crazy state?
Oh, it was great, man. We bought in what Coach Saban was had going on as we was his first class there. And, you know, ironically, man, as senior, you know, we go in there as freshmen with him, and by the time our senior year come, we playing for a national championship and actually winning it. And it meant a lot, man. And everything he preached to us, we bought into it, and it happened. It showed, you know, and you know, that was the great thing about that whole deal there, man. And makes you think, you know. At that time, I think he had a name as a great coach, good
yep.
coach.
Yep.
And I think from there, that just kicked. That just jump started him into greatness, and I think it started there at LSU for him.
One, I love the answer. Two, you can hear the noted Alabama fan in the background saying, "Yep, right."
Yeah.
Devery Henderson says Nick Saban's a great coach. The Alabama fan.
Yep, these are facts.
Yep,
these are facts.
We have vetted that. It is true.
Yeah.
Roll Tide. No, okay. All right. Now I'm going to get run off. I'll get run off my own show now.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put those words in RP3's mouth either, but I will tell you this, and understand, I guess I'll let my chronology out here. I've said how old I am on the show before, so simple math would have, well, led anybody to this. I got out of Catholic in Baton Rouge in 03. My first year out of this state at the University of Georgia was the year that LSU won the national championship, in the fall of 03. Ironically, they won their second in February of 08. I moved back into the state a few months after. My dad, a noted LSU fan, has said many times, you realize that for the period of time you left the state, they won two national championships. If you could kindly leave the boot again, that would be splendid. And so when things were going the way they were in 2011, I said, look, dude, it ain't on me. Then January 9, 2012 came, and I just got a text that said, could you please move, right? So he hasn't forgotten, all right? And I'm sure many others won't let me forget either now that I brought that up. But the other part of the chronology is that I vividly remember Devery Henderson getting to LSU. And then the year after, this guy named Michael Clayton came aboard. I grew up in the neighborhood, literally. It's not a neighboring neighborhood. It's inside of my neighborhood is Christian Life in Baton Rouge. Anybody's been there? It's Quail Drive, right where the Wildlife and Fisheries building is. I could hear over the loudspeakers when I was, I guess, just about to get out of middle school into high school. I mean, Michael Clayton, I think, was maybe 2 years older than me. I could hear over the loudspeaker calls of Stephon LaForce, who went on to Louisville, throwing touchdown passes to Michael Clayton. We all knew what MC was about. We all knew. I played in a high school football playoff game against Skylar Green. He's a year older than me. Went down to LW Higgins and beat him in a first-round playoff game. So the receiving core that LSU had with Devery Henderson in the 03 season was insane. And as somebody who was relatively that age at the time, I look back on it and still just absolutely stupefying. And to think that Devery Henderson went on to have the best pro career of any of those guys, interesting as well. Michael Clayton, I think, was a co-NFC Rookie of the Year with Tampa, but his career after that never quite got back to that level. Henderson certainly sustained it for a longer period of time. Let's get back to more from Devery Henderson, his thoughts on being drafted by the home state New Orleans Saints.
Well, actually, man, it was just the opportunity to play in the NFL. And then, right. You know, you trump that with your in-state team, the team you actually grew up watching, man. You know, I was familiar with a lot of the cats in that Bobby Hebert, Dalton Hilliard era, Craig Haywood. You know, I was a fan since then, and you know, to get that opportunity, man, and get that call on draft day from them and seeing that 504 number, you know, it was something else, man. And I really, honestly, man, I thought I would be getting ready to move, getting ready to adjust to a new state for the first time in my life, you know, being away from home.
Right.
And, you know, I was really prepared for that all throughout the pre-draft, you know, things and stuff like that. So when I got that call, man, it was real humbling. And, you know, being able to play for Maine State and be, you know, a little bit further down the road but still close to home.
Really and truly was a great interview. RP3 and Company had Devery Henderson on this morning. Running back some of that now for you on 103.7 The Game. And winning, getting to and winning the Super Bowl almost exactly 10 years ago now would have to be the crowning achievement for just about any player. Here's what Henderson said it meant to him and to the Saints.
You grew up watching the Super Bowl, man. Even as a player in the NFL, man, you tune into the Super Bowl. It's a big, big old deal. And I mean, everybody, you know, you play the game, man, and that's one of the things, your biggest goals, and a lot of people don't ever get to accomplish that. And for me to do that, man, in my home state, and at the time that it happened, it meant so much to the state and to the people. So, I mean, it was great to be a part of that, man. And, you know, I've just been blessed, man, to be part of some historic moments in football history in this state. And, you know, just to be part of that national championship and, you know, come back some years later and be part of the first Super Bowl ever to this state, man, it's been great. And I wasn't the only part of the team. I was out there actually playing, so you know, I could talk trash to my kids and grandkids, and you know, they could always revert to Super Bowl 44 and see their dad or grandfather running up and down that field. So that's a great thing. You have to look for me on the sidelines to try to point me out.
That is fantastic. Play the tape. Granddad's on it, right? You're not going to have to try and find him like the Zapruder film. That's Granddad out there wearing 1-9 and making plays. One more, and these are his thoughts on number 9. And, you know, don't forget, when Devery Henderson got to the Saints, Drew Brees was not there. But shortly after, yeah, he was there, and then everything changed.
Oh, because I know his work ethic, and I know his pedigree, what he's built, you know, and I know what he's out there trying to get accomplished, man, and that's he want to be the best Drew Brees every year. He want to be the best leader. He want to be the best quarterback, and he's gonna work hard all day, every day, during the season, off season, to make sure that he's ready for that challenge.
I said earlier it was a really good interview. Let me tell you how good. I got to catch part of it this morning. I caught up with RP3 in the office, and I said I want to run that today. How long was it? He said, about 20 minutes. I said, good night alive. All right, I can't drop a 20-minute bomb on people in the 4 o'clock hour. But that's how good it was. I was listening, and it didn't even occur to me that I was listening for that period of time. But again, our thanks to Devery Henderson for coming here in studio, crushing that interview. And I get the distinct feeling that my main man, Dexter Washington, was behind helping to get Devery here. So to the head basketball coach over at Hamilton Christian, a guy who's doing a really good job. And, Coach, don't think I didn't notice that you're doing a great job, not just over in Lake Chuck with Hamilton Christian, but alongside Randy Livingston and the team they've got going Fleur-de-Lis AAU this summer, doing some pretty cool things. And not just for kids inside the state, but even specifically, I believe Joe Charles from Karen Crow's out there. So there's some local flair as well. The young man, I think, from Opelousas Catholic, who's just a tremendous rising junior. So pretty cool to get Devery Henderson here in studio. I see where he is now signed the 103.7 The Game billboard, poster, whatever you want to call it, here inside the studio. That was a cool interview. I wanted to make sure we got to as much as we could.
Oh, and that's just a phenomenal interview. There's a lot more meat to the bone. There's a lot more fun stuff as well. Obviously, they wound up talking about Jim Hawthorne butchering the call, saying it wasn't Devery Henderson. Jack Hunt was the one catching the game winner, and how he's since forgiven him for that missed call.
Oh, I can't imagine why Devery would have any beef for that. Jack Hunt should have some beef with that. The city of Ruston's probably not thrilled with that. Like, man, you gave us a moment, and dog, that wasn't even our moment. And you know what's funny to me? We might have, you know what? I don't know if Chris Blair would actually discuss this. He's got a lot of class. So he may not go down this road if I let him there.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was interesting that historically they've altered it.
Yeah.
LSU has altered that call. If you watch the highlights, and I get that. It makes sense. It's an all-time program moment.
Yep.
But I was driving around. Little 16-year-old Ben Love out there in the world. Maybe I was 17, but I was out there driving around. I remember that moment. I remember listening to Jim Hawthorne. I said, what in the holy hell is a safety doing catching a game-winning pass when they just dumped the Gatorade a few moments ago? So pretty cool that Devery is able to joke about that now. And Clint mentioned there's plenty more to hear. He's absolutely right. Go to the website, 1037thegame.com, even our free mobile app. Click, tap, on demand. You can listen to the full Devery Henderson interview. Pretty cool stuff. Wanted to make sure we got it to you in the PM. All right, I'm about to let a little secret out for you. I don't often do this. I'm going to give you the sink or swim question right now. I want you to marinate during the break and then call in. Which future are you more excited about in New Orleans? Is it Zion Williamson or is it Alvin Kamara? A couple of young guns in the Big Easy. One's already here and made a name. The other, it'll be official on Thursday night. Think on it, then call in. 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Having fun with you on 103.7 The Game.
Football season can't come fast enough.
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
You little...
Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to help get you by.
How about a quick Jose Altuve update from Cincy, and then we dive right in, well, to a question that I already gave you. Altuve, as we mentioned earlier in the program, coming back from the injured list, he is with the team. He's joined the Astros in Cincinnati today, expected to be activated and begin play tomorrow. But according to Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle, I'll give you the exact quote, and this is in the last 3 minutes, so hot off the presses. Quote, it feels better than what it looks. I was kind of surprised when I looked at the video and saw myself running because I feel way better than that. I don't think that's going to be an issue. Running isn't going to be an issue. Adding Altuve back to this lineup can only do wonders for the Houston Astros. Still a couple weeks till the Midsummer Classic, looking to get their full lineup back to full strength. First Altuve, I would imagine, in short order, Colin McHugh, George Springer, and then I would think you have to wait until after the All-Star break, more than likely, for Carlos Correa. But CD, let's get right to it. Technically, I've already let the cat out of the bag, but for the 4:30 crowd, we'll play the music. I'll ask the question.
Love, exciting and new.
A repeat. But it's a good one. Your sink or swim question of the day. Which future are you more excited about in New Orleans? Is it Alvin Kamara for the Saints or Zion Williamson for the Pels? We know you've seen more of one than the other. Still think the question applies. Call up. Let us know. 706-0111. The famous Clint D with the honors.
I think I got to go with Zion Williamson here, Ben, and it's largely because of the fact that this guy just has so much potential to kind of become a generational player like we've seen in the past with a LeBron James or somewhere along those lines. The guy has so much talent. You can about imagine he can lift up this team in terms of the Western Conference, which seems to be a lot harder to predict heading into the 2019-2020 season. I got to say Zion Williamson, and it's more because just of how much he's going to be a big X factor in this team's success going forward. While Alvin Kamara, he's going to be a key factor in this team, probably more like than a post-Drew Brees era, but I think he's definitely going to become, he's definitely going to have to be the bell cow a lot more so, but I'm not necessarily as excited for his future because it feels like right now his future is sealed. He's going to wind up being a very consistent running back for the Saints and probably wind up breaking some franchise records along the way.
What just happened? So his future is sealed. He'll set franchise records.
But I think,
but you're ultimately not as excited about his future at least as compared to Zion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Had to make sense of what you said there, because at the end there, sounded like you said he's going to be one of the best to ever do it for the franchise, but yeah.
What? Like it's,
what?
Like it feels like, you know, in terms of just the sheer impact of what each of them bring to the table, I got to lean towards Zion Williamson.
CD, I think Deuce McAllister's on line one for you. No, okay, let's go.
I'm more than willing to get him on the phone.
The right answer is what Jamie G has given us on Facebook. I've asked you which future are you more excited about. Jamie G on Facebook, yes. Of course, that is the right answer.
It is.
Jean-Luc on Facebook, AK-41, and I'm going to mirror that. Ben Love on the show, AK-41. Excuse the third person drop. It's got to be Alvin Kamara. In part because we've already seen the future. It's now. Zion Williamson, we're going to find out. There's still so much we don't know yet about Zion. Now, you might sell more Zion jerseys. Might be a more marketable figure for a franchise that needs it. The Saints didn't need the marketing power of Alvin Kamara. They had Drew Brees. Clearly, the Pelicans, in every conceivable way, need the energy that Zion's going to bring. So could he be a bigger boon for his franchise out of these two? He absolutely could be. He's one of five also, whereas Alvin is one of, let's just say, 22. I get that as well. Basketball players can have more of an impact individually, no question. But the answer for me is still AK-41. I believe he has a chance to go down as one of the best backs of his generation. Alvin Kamara shows receiver skills at the running back position, and I'm not always a slave to my time period. I have watched the game before these last two seasons, and I am a student of the game. I absolutely know that Louisiana's own Marshall Faulk was also a wide receiver in a running back's body. There have been plenty of them that you can line up in the slot. I'm just not sure that there have been that many that are as devastating at their craft as Alvin Kamara is. I am a huge believer in his present and in his future. I think Alvin Kamara is about to be an all-pro back, if healthy, for years to come. Having said that, Zion's going to be awfully important to New Orleans. You should be fired up about Thursday night. You should be fired up about life beyond Thursday night. I had to see it a little bit more with Zion. And I get the feeling Shea Dixon's going to put me to the sword with this when we flip the script in about 30, 35 minutes. But I'm not sure that Zion comes in as complete of a player as Alvin entered the league. Alvin had these skills, albeit from a bit of an underrated third-round package. We didn't see some of this coming, not like Sean Payton did. There's nothing that's going to be hidden or under the radar with the number one overall pick. Zion Williamson has been that dude since he was in high school. He's going to be scrutinized to a much higher level than Alvin Kamara ever was. I think an interesting case can be made on both sides of the aisle here. Clint and I have already done that. He's going Zion. I'm going Kamara. And right now the Ardco Equipment Hotline is going kaput. Really? Wake the hell up on a Tuesday. We got some time between now and 5:05. I want to hear from you on this, and we'll get to the Twitter poll, but I'd love to hear on the show which one you think has maybe the brighter future, the one you're most or more excited about. Let us know, 706-0111. And I could have thrown Michael Thomas into this equation. I'm aware of that, especially with the news today that Mike Thomas might become the highest paid wide receiver in football, but I feel like these two might be the more apples-to-apples comparison. Would you have liked to see Mike Thomas in this one? You want a three-way option, brother?
No, I feel like this one was perfectly fine because you got to realize Alvin Kamara only in his third year in the league. Meanwhile, Zion Williamson heading into his rookie season. It's a lot easier to kind of look at those two while, you know,
Mike Thomas with one more year in the league.
One more year in the league, and he wound up kind of dominating the league, 125 catches. I think that's something I have said. I'm just going to say I think Alvin Kamara, Zion Williamson is a more apt comparison.
All right. I agree. So we got them together. Here's what we'll do. We'll take our final break in the hour. We got plenty of real estate on the other side. We'll explore the space with you. Hit us up. let us know. Even if it's on social media, we'll keep the vibes going. And then Shea Dixon at 5:05. LSU recruiting, we'll flip the script. At 5:45, former STM Cougar, UL, Raging Cajun as a player, and now he does a tremendous job wearing a lot of hats. Head basketball coach, AD at Ascension Episcopal, did some really cool things as a color analyst alongside Dan McDonald last year as well. Eric Mouton coming aboard at 5:45. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Sink, swim, we're ready to let you decide. We got some time for you here. We've also got a College World Series update. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in business on 103.7 The Game. The phone number to play, 706-0111. And the question at hand, which future are you more excited about in NOLA? Alvin Kamara for the Saints, Zion Williamson for the Pels. All right, before any calls, let's get to that College World Series update. We had this yesterday, happened mid-show. Arkansas, the first team eliminated, still currently the only team eliminated from the CWS. 5-4, they fell to Texas Tech. And Florida State lost for the first time in a hot minute to Michigan yesterday. So who would have thunk it? Big Blue, the Wolverines from the Big Ten, right now in the driver's seat in the top half of the bracket at TD Ameritrade. As far as today, well, everything's been pushed back. Auburn, Louisville, an elimination game has been delayed by weather. The latest they'll be able to restart is 9 p.m. tonight. Mississippi State, Vandy, that's a winner's bracket game. It's been pushed back until tomorrow. One other note on Vandy. I can't believe it's taken this long for them to get this SOB. A report from the Tennessean, the Vandy Whistler, told three times by an employee at TD Ameritrade to stop the whistling or he would be ejected. And so finally, somebody has taken steps to eliminate the threat, the menace that is the Vandy Whistler. All right, let's take a trip out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Corey, thanks for the call. Is it Kamara? Is it Zion?
I think I'm going to head the Zion way, my man.
All right, tell me why.
I just feel like the state of the Pelicans, what he's going to bring to the table, the energy, what he's going to bring to the city, what he's going to bring to the state. I just feel like it's not just on the court, it's off the court too, you know. I mean, this is a total game changer. I think it's also going to want to bring in free agents that may have not wanted to come in before.
It's a really good point. And AD was able, in his own way, to attract Boogie Cousins. So what can Zion bring to the table? And with this young nucleus that they're going to build, you're absolutely right. I think on and off the court, Zion's impact right now, it's hard to tell the magnitude except to say it's going to be great.
Amen to that, brother. Can't wait till Thursday.
Corey, I appreciate the call. He's excited. He's fired up for Thursday. We'll take the temperature of our next caller. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. All right, Jason, is it Kamara or is it Zion for you?
I've got to give the nod to Zion, only because when you're speaking of Kamara, he's playing with a Hall of Famer as a field general. So, you know, with Drew Brees maybe a couple more years in the bag, what is Kamara going to be able to do without Drew Brees? That's going to be the biggest question. Although with Zion, he hasn't proven himself yet, but I just think he brings a lot more to the table at this point in the game.
It's fair. And look, all the votes for Zion, I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. Jason, I appreciate the call. We can take some more. We got time in the hour. 706-0111. Currently, I'm the only one on the AK-41 island. It's a lonely island, CD, if you will. If I can make that reference to guys that make some hilarious videos. By the way, they've got a new one. The Lonely Island Cats have done one with the Bash Brothers,
yes.
Mark McGuire.
And Jose Canseco.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's fantastic.
If you make it through all 25 minutes, again, holler at your boy, but that may have to be off air. Still, let me go back to my point. Got distracted with the Lonely Island hilarity. I'll put another tally in Alvin Kamara's column. Again, maybe you agree with this, maybe you don't. But from my perspective, Saints Nation not only refused to universally wrap their arms around Mark Ingram before Alvin Kamara, they kind of hated him. You remember way back when, right? We didn't start hearing reports about the great locker room presence that was Mark Ingram until Alvin Kamara came around and until they kicked Adrian Peterson's grumpy ass out of town. That's when we started to hear these reports. And everybody talked about how great of a teammate Mark Ingram was. On field, his production in the 2017 season was what it was because of Alvin Kamara. You cannot, you will not convince me of anything different. For me, that's period, end of discussion. Alvin Kamara reinvigorated the career of a first-round pick and a Heisman Trophy winner in the stable with him because of his ungodly and uncanny skills. Yes, I am absolutely letting my man crush out on air, and I don't care. Alvin Kamara is a flat-out stud. Now, I absolutely relate to every point that's been made about what Zion will mean to a franchise that's more hungry for a star. Frankly, one that needs a star after Chris Paul and after Anthony Davis. I get all of that. I'll just suggest that we have proven goods in Kamara. There's not a wrong answer to this question. My feet are dug in on one side, but I get how incredible Zion's going to be off the court. I have some on-the-court concerns, but again, if this guy was going to be drafted 4th, 5th, 6th overall, yeah, I'd be wetting my pants. It's the fact that he's held in such high esteem, that he's going to be the number one overall pick, and that we're being told he needs to be discussed in the same conversation as a lot of the other highly esteemed number one overall picks. LeBron, Anthony Davis himself. I'm just not sure he's knocking on that door yet. Physical freak, yeah. Win the dunk contest if he enters it? Probably. Is he going to lead them immediately to a bright future? I don't know. It's going to take other pieces. I'm not sure that he's going to be a year-in, year-out all-pro performer. I do think he'll get to, I think he'll get to an all-star level. I know he's got that type of talent. What do you think, CD?
And I, like I said, this is the biggest thing for me is it's just the fact of all the potential that he has, and it's also going to be the fact that this kind of helps invigorate a fan base that had been largely kind of like ho-hum, if you will. Like,
I think they were pretty yoked after sweeping the Trailblazers.
Oh, of course.
I guess now what would be two seasons going to the playoffs.
Yep.
But from the moment they exited that series until they won the draft lottery, you're absolutely right.
But I'm saying you just look at like how it had been after they won the playoffs. The first year under Alvin Gentry, it just felt like the fan base, it was a lead balloon. And you
We're on the same page.
Yeah,
here.
I feel like it's just.
But they had gotten up to a certain point.
Yeah.
I think there was reason to believe, oh man, coming back, things are going to be good. They're going to keep AD. They got his buddy Boogie Cousins around.
Yep.
And then, yeah, you're right. It went to hell in a handbasket.
Exactly. And that's just, that's where we're at right now. We this franchise just needs some reinvigoration because you know, ultra.
You tried to pull out the Wii there. I heard that.
Yeah. But a year, like probably a year, year and a half ago, almost maybe 2 years ago, after the Pels got eliminated, like we just all started talking about the future of the Pelicans because it felt like maybe just maybe you lost Boogie Cousins. Anthony Davis wasn't going to be too far behind. And now what are we talking about? Anthony Davis, he's out, and look what we got. We got a bona fide stud in Zion Williamson. I can't wait to see him out on the floor in a Pelicans uniform, and it helps get this team just this fan base amped up, and we need that.
What we're debating is degrees of greatness of Zion.
Yeah.
And so believe me, I'm not going to be nitpicking a whole hell of a lot there. He's a freak. And I think in his own way, he's as physically gifted as Anthony Davis. They're just different body types, different dimensions, different games. Pelicans are going to be very fortunate to have him. So I'm not arguing against Zion whatsoever. I just wonder if the appreciation for what Kamara is and what he's about to become is fully understood yet. Somewhere, Frank has missed out on a great conversation. This is Frank Baiting at a high level. I don't know if we'll have time in the 5 o'clock hour, Will Ferrell style. I don't know if we'll have time. It's going to be a busy Saturday. But Frank, everyone else, I promise you, we're going to come back to this moment and this conversation later in the week. We got plenty of goods coming at you in the 5 o'clock hour. Shea Dixon at 5:05, Eric Mouton at 5:45. Before we can get there, how about one final word in this hour?
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Peril, and kind of peril with the question mark at the end, as in, is the SEC in peril? In the College World Series, Arkansas, one of your presumptive favorites going in, already eliminated. Auburn, if they fall to Louisville tonight in an elimination game, it would reduce the SEC's haul from 4 to 2. And those two are playing each other in a winner's bracket game tomorrow, Mississippi State Vandy. So the winner will be in awfully good shape out of the Bulldogs and the Commodores. But the other three, like I said, one's gone, the other's on the brink, and the third, well, they'll just be one L away. So it started with 4 of 8 SEC teams. I'm not sure it's ending with the title. Again, it's a little early to make that call, but I'm wondering if they're not in peril. That's your final word of the hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station, your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. Coming right back with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one. We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Coming swinging right out the gate. It's hour 2 of 2, and you're dialed into B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. For the next hour, myself, Ben Love, alongside the famous Glenn D, inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. 1 minute, literally, away from Shea Dixon, talking LSU recruiting and then flipping the script. We'll have Eric Mouton aboard at 5:45. A lot of topics to touch on with the head basketball coach, athletics director of Ascension Episcopal. But your quick stories of the day recap, Jose Altuve has rejoined the Houston Astros, back from his rehab assignment, set to officially be reactivated for tomorrow's game against the Cincinnati Reds on the road. The Saints reportedly have entered negotiations to make Michael Thomas the highest paid receiver in the NFL. Mike Thomas led the league with 125 catches a season ago, and the New Orleans Pelicans, they will be the topic of the week, all week long, not just locally, but I think in the association. And according to numerous reports, the Pelicans and Hawks are discussing a trade for the number 4 pick. The Hawks are doing everything humanly possible to move up in the first round. Right now, Atlanta's got the number 8 and 10 overall picks, and they have reportedly shown interest in the Pels' number 4 and the Knicks' number 3. Speaking of those Knickerbockers, they're going to be working out Darius Garland, a point guard out of Vanderbilt, tomorrow. If the Knicks take Garland third, it could leave RJ Barrett for the Pels fourth. So it's my contention. I said it last hour. I'll say it again. I think David Griffin and company might not make a deal to move the fourth pick until they know the fate of the third pick. This one might just go down all the way to the wire and the 11th hour. All right, enough of me. It's time for me and Shay. Everyone looks forward to this all week long.
Bring them out.
It's time for Shay Dixon of Go 247.
We got him. He's with us in the building, not, of course, literally, but figuratively. Live from BR. Shay, welcome back to the fray. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, my friend. Glad to be here. How are you?
Life is good, and I think it's pretty good for Ed Ogeron and LSU as well. They ran up their commitment total in this 2020 class, Shay, as you well know, over the weekend to 18. The latest pledge, Patrick Jenkins, defensive lineman from Marrero. That's right, John Arad High School, familiar recruiting breeding ground for the LSU Tigers. What can you tell us about him? He earned an offer at camp. Other than that, tell us what you like about Patrick Jenkins.
Yeah, I loved him at camp. Look, I thought he was
at the first camp session, one of the better players there, really regardless of position. And he was a guy that we had last seen in the spring of the, in the fall of the senior year. He was 6'1", and, 250, 260, and was just a bit of an undersized D-lineman. And he showed up to LSU camp and checked in. I think he was 6'2", 285. That's about Lewis Neal type range, and he can play a similar game. Look, he's going to start off probably playing a bit on the edge. They'll go down to some four-down linemen, and he'll slide inside. He's versatile, and for a kid who, like I said, we thought might have been a bit undersized, he squashed any of those worries. He looked like a certainly SEC-level prospect, and he had some big offers. But look, Ed Orgeron said, come to camp. We want to see you there. He showed up day one, blew everybody away, and Ed Orgeron didn't let him leave without extending him the offer, and it didn't take him too long to go ahead and pop and commit coming off a visit to TCU this past weekend. So another John Arrett boy in the boat. Gosh, they've had a run on him in recent years, and people around John Arrett said that Patrick Jenkins is sort of as promising as any of them that they've sent off to college here over the past decade.
I tried to think of that group and guys that I covered on the show yesterday. I came up with Darrell Williams, who's with the Chiefs now. I came up with Lamin Barrow. I've got to be forgetting some people, right?
Well, you're definitely forgetting one of them, one of LSU's best players.
Okay, this is going to be embarrassing. Hit me.
Oh, Michael Divinity.
Ah, yes. Current players. Guys that are playing right freaking now. So I'll own that and probably throw a little shade at myself in about 20 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I think you'll live. And you'll also, and look, now you can double up because Dante Starks is on the team now too, and he's from John Arrett. So you've got a couple of Arrett boys, and now Patrick Jenkins will follow suit.
Well, this is just getting embarrassing for me. So let me ask another question. Shay, what is next? That's the whole name of the game in recruiting. So after Jenkins, LSU now at 18. When I ask what's next, let's kind of look at that on two fronts. The rest of the defensive linemen from Louisiana, what comes next in this class? And then kind of what do they do now that they've already gotten to this 18 number?
Yeah, well, defensive line, and obviously I think that they want to start here in state, and it's three names, right? You've got Patrick Jenkins on board now as the most recent commit, and you want Jalen Lee at Live Oak, you want Jacoby Guillory at Alexandria or at Ash, and certainly you want Jaqueline Roy at University High, and those guys all have the who's who of offers. They're all going to wind up playing SEC football, and Ed Orgeron and Dennis Johnson, they want to find a way to close with that group, but look, they're wanting to take a big class. I mean, there's guys outside the state. I'll give you Eric Taylor out of Alabama, who has Bama, Auburn, all those offers. He was in for his official visit last weekend. I wouldn't be shocked if he's the next guy to commit to LSU. And that would be another out-of-state domino to fall for him in this cycle. So they're stacking up commits quickly, but certainly they have their eye on this little group of linemen in the trenches on the defensive line that they really like.
All right. Patrick Jenkins aboard. We just got the plan for what comes next. I'll give our listeners an idea of what comes next in this program. I know we're a touch light on recruiting today. Really, there's not much more than Jenkins and kind of the trickle-down effects from there to discuss. But on the other side, you gave me the drop on an overall topic, and I'm sure I can kind of guess from here. But you want to discuss Pels. Obviously, that's been hot for our program. I'm interested to see exactly which way you go with this because it's going to be a huge week, I believe, for the future of this franchise, Shay.
Oh, we're going to be balling in this next segment. We're going to be LeVar balling, talking number four pick, talking some Zion long-term outcome. There's GM Ben is stepping to the plate in round two here. I'll say that.
Thank you. Just frighten me. And maybe our listeners a little bit. We're going to be LeVar balling. Whatever that means, we'll explore. On the other side, Shay's going to have to stick around, and he's got some NBA hardwood-related questions for yours truly. I don't think you want to go anywhere. Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back and coming at you on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Let's go, baby!
This
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game. Live online at 1037thegame.com. Get in on the conversation. Call on the game hotline. 706-0111. 706-0111.
We're going to do things different.
Can we be just like we were?
We're going to flip the script.
It's time to flip the script with Shea Dixon on 103.7 The Game.
You know I'll flip.
Welcome back in, and look, I'm almost starting to believe we need more than just Coach O, because when we don't talk LSU football, look, it's a hell of an intro still, not going to front, but we probably could use maybe a little variety. It is, after all, the spice of life. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back with you on 103.7 The Game. And you did hear Coach O. We still got Big Shay D, go247.com with us. Shay, I think we're going to talk a little NBA draft, a little Pels today, and we might just do it a little differently than I've done in the last day and a half on this program.
Well, yeah, I've been listening. So here's, we're going to mix it up a bit. And we've talked, or you have, and certainly the listeners, plenty about the Zion and landing the number one pick and the AD movement, and finally us seeing the trade, and I guess kind of getting close to seeing what the trade will truly be worth, right, with what they're going to do with these picks and what they're going to do with potentially keeping all the pieces they got from the Lakers. But I'll start here. Before we dive into any of that, is, and you talked a little bit about this before, you made a little Herschel Walker comparison, is trading one player for basically half your team, is that good business for the NBA? Like, I think the Pels considered good business, considered they're getting all these players and AD was leaving. The Lakers considered, I guess, good because they wanted AD and were going to do anything to get him. But is it good for the sport? Is it good for the rest of the team sitting out there?
I actually believe that it is. And I can't remember who wrote this, so mea culpa, but there was one article where somebody said this might be the singular most important free agency move since Kareem went from the Bucks to the Lakers in how it might impact the future of the NBA. But this move will be a hell of a lot different than that move, because here's the thing: when Kareem left the Bucks, well, we don't exactly remember those Bucks post Kareem too fondly, do we? I mean, we remember the Showtime Lakers and what they became. This one's going to be the polar opposite. This one is going to give the Lakers, where Anthony Davis is going, a great short-term window. But I 100% believe that as soon as LeBron retires, and they may have only a three-year window, that 3 to 4 years from now, they're going to fall off the face of the earth, off the NBA map, and they'll be about the level that Kobe's Lakers were between Shaq and then when Marc Gasol and Lamar Odom and company were brought over and developed, and they became champs again under Phil Jackson. So seriously, this is an all or nothing, all in for right now type of move for the Lakers. So unlike when the Lakers of the early 80s got Kareem, they're not going to be set up for long-term success. The team that made the deal is. And so unlike those Bucks that kind of toiled in anonymity, this Pels franchise under David Griffin will be a force to be reckoned with, a team that you're going to have to deal with in the Western Conference. It may start 2 or 3 years from now, ironically when the Lakers window will end, but it's going to last for who knows how long, 4 years, 7 years, 10 years. It depends on how they develop their talent, get the right breaks with health, and then how they parlay some of their future assets. We saw the Spurs turn the Robinson era into the Duncan era. And Duncan, I mean, just a generational top 10 or 12 player of all time. He took them to greater heights, and eventually they spun it off into LaMarcus Aldridge and now DeMar DeRozan. And they're at least still playoff worthy and relevant. So how long you can spin forth your period of relevancy is often due to the front office. And I don't like the guy that the Pels have at the top right now. I freaking love him in David Griffin. Trajan Langdon's an up-and-comer. So, Shay, what I'll tell you is this. It's a long-winded answer, but you can tell I'm fired up. This trade is good for the NBA. it gives an all-time great franchise another run at destiny in the short term, but then they're going to have to build it back up the hard way, and it gives a smaller market a chance to become maybe a longer-term version of what it seems like the Milwaukee Bucks are right now, a longer-term version of maybe some unsustained periods from the Portland Trailblazers or the Memphis Grizzlies, and maybe now even the Utah Jazz, these little mini runs we've seen over the last decade. I think this is great for the sport. It sets up a smaller market for the long run and gives an all-time great franchise another chance to capitalize on the LeBron era. So many people might not have expected that answer, but I'm digging it.
Well, you had heavy praise for your front office. So they get the trade done. They have all these pieces. I know we can debate every which way to Sunday what they should do with them, but let's just say that they enter the NBA draft and they're still holding on to that number 4 overall pick. Who are you taking? And what is best for the Pel's future?
I really hope they don't make that number 4 pick. I'm betting we'll touch more on that later in the interview. And I'll tell you what's interesting. Your guys over at 24/7 Sports have Darius Garland, a point guard out of Vanderbilt, as number 4 on their big board. No way, no how, with Drew Holiday on the roster. I know he's more of an off guard. With Elfrid Payton still at least in the realm, on the roster, keep him if you want to. You just brought in Lonzo Ball. There's no chance that I am using the number 4 overall pick on a point guard. So even if that cat is being ranked as part of big board possibilities, not actual draft projections, I don't like that at all. People seem to favor DeAndre Hunter, a 6'7 power forward. He's got a 7'2 wingspan and a guy that really can guard a lot of positions defensively. I'm okay with that. If they want to go with DeAndre Hunter out of the defending champ Virginia Cavs, I'm all right with that. Cam Reddish out of Duke is a little more speculative. We know the talent's there. Again, a 6'8 small forward, almost a 7'1 wingspan. Physical gifts are there. He's just maybe a little bit more raw. And so I probably would lean Hunter over Reddish. And I also don't mind if they go Jared Culver. But the reality is, as a shooting guard, as much as I like the scoring ability of Culver, again, they'd be stocking up in the backcourt where they really could use a wing and maybe a better shooting wing than the one they just brought in Brandon Ingram. So I'm okay with DeAndre Hunter. I don't want the kid from Vandy. I'd probably rather Culver over Reddish. But again, finding a way to fill that small forward position is their biggest need, in my opinion.
I think a lot of Pels fans agree with you. Hey, shout out to the Raging Cajun, right? You gave some love to the hometown boy in there. Yeah. I hope they keep him around.
I do too, and it looks like it's going to be harder to keep, let's see, Julius Randle around after a career year statistically, but I'm with you on Payton. It wouldn't cost nearly as much, and it would only help the transition of Lonzo Ball if you keep him, and it makes life for Drew Holiday easier. I'm with you.
All right, well, tell me that, because you already hinted about the 4 pick. What do you want to do here? Are you trying to get Lonzo Ball, the hype train rolling, and immediately trade him, package that 4 pick in him, or do you like him? You keep in Lonzo Ball. What would you be doing if you're sitting in that front office right now? What is your argument to the man in charge?
It's all contingent on what I'm offered, and that goes without saying. But in an ideal world, I don't think that one or two of those Laker players they just acquired ever play a second for the Pelicans. In an ideal world, I would love to package Lonzo Ball and the number 4 for fill in the blank. But the thing is, fill in the blank has to fit your roster needs. You've got to have a number of years of team control over player X that you fill in the blank with. A lot of people want Bradley Beal. He's got 2 years left of player control. But frankly, if I'm Washington, no way in hell am I taking Lonzo Ball and the number 4 pick for my all-star. No freaking chance. I think you might have to set your sights a little bit lower than that. And it used to be that Otto Porter was a guy that Pels fans coveted as a wing that could come in. So again, not knowing the number of years of team control, not knowing his situation, I don't know. But maybe a player more of that level and that caliber as opposed to an all-star like Beal is reasonable. But in my estimation, Shea, I think one or two of those Laker players don't make it to this season. I'd like to see him lose the number 4 pick. And even if it's not for an all-star, if it's for a very good player and a multi-year starter, it would be worth it. I also would be willing to listen to trading down. And Atlanta, for example, I think has the number 8 and 10 picks in this draft. Give me as many assets as I can get. because I'm not sure that there's a clear-cut favorite and stud at number four. So because of that, and because of my level of uncertainty with some of the Lakers players, namely Ball, I'm okay if they shed some of that weight.
I like to take. Let me mull it over. I can give you more of a feedback later. But I'll ask this. We are so deep. Actually, I did see a Zion deal on ESPN today. So people are talking about Zion still, but we're so deep in the Raptors just won. The Warriors lost. The AD trade. What is the Pelicans going to do? They have this whole new front office. The number one pick is the Pelicans. They're taking Zion. They're losing AD. And I'm curious, as a basketball guy, and it became very quickly obviously, right? Like 3 weeks into the college basketball season, everybody said, this kid's the best player in college basketball. He'll be the number one pick. That opinion sort of went wire to wire. He's not AD, but is this a perennial all-star type of player that the Pelicans are getting, that they're going to be building around?
I think so, but I don't know so for sure. And with very few exceptions, with these number overall picks, we kind of know so. Anthony Bennett would be an example of one who certainly didn't go that way. And so you're not guaranteed success, but I think this is about as close as you can get, right? So it's not LeBron. It's not Kevin Durant, who ironically didn't go number one. Greg Oden did. But it's somebody who hasn't had a real history of injury, so you're alleviating that concern, unlike what you probably assumed with Greg Oden. And again, while it might not be LeBron KD level, it's not far below those type of guys. So I think it almost is in line with drafting AD first overall. And he comes in without the defensive repertoire of Anthony Davis, but he's a more accomplished offensive player. And he is maybe as freakishly physically gifted in a different way than Anthony Davis is. What I like about Zion is I detect a little bit more of a killer instinct. And some people may say that's unfair for me to say. I don't care. With Anthony Davis, he could be maybe a little bit like Kevin Durant. If they don't have enough other big bananas to prop him up, they can't win at all as the big banana themselves. I see some of those guys as players that have deferential DNA. I really am not sure that they are absolute cutthroat competitive killers a la Kobe, a la Michael. I'm just telling you, I've always seen that in Anthony Davis. So it's going to be interesting to watch him fall in line behind an alpha with LeBron in Los Angeles. As far as Zion goes, the good news is I believe he is the freaking alpha. And so if he brings the offensive skill set he's got, if he can develop more of a consistent jumper, yeah, he's a year-in, year-out, all-NBA type of player. But as it is, I think there's a chance that, yeah, he makes all-star teams 2 out of every 3 years. And if the Pels get that type of player and they can build around him with a young nucleus, that'll be enough.
Ben, this was Pels heavy. We've never gone full Pels heavy.
Never go full Pels, if I can quote a little bit of Tropic Thunder, right?
You tied in the basketball theme well, my friend.
I did what I could, Shay, as always.
Jackie Boone would love this trade, my friend.
Yeah, if we can only talk a little Flint Tropics or ABA, we'd go full on Jackie Moon, like you said. That wouldn't be bad.
No. Trade in a washing machine and the number four pick. It's some good.
I'm an aggressive owner. Shay, I got to hit a break. Clint's starting to get a little aggressive with me. Thanks for the time, as always. We'll catch up next Tuesday.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it.
The number of references there, you might have to rewind the track if you want to get them all. And if you missed any or all of Shay Dixon today, part one, talking Cruden. Part two, flip the script. It'll be on demand in just a couple of blinks. Make sure you go to 1037thegame.com or the free mobile app. And if you did miss it, correct your error. Catch it on demand. When we return, we throw a little shade. And then our main man, Coach Eric Mouton, laying it down at 4:45. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on 1037 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
How do you follow up two full segments with Shea Dixon? I don't know. In fact, I don't know every single Tuesday. I do know that we'll try, and I've got something interesting that might just help get us over the hump. Ben Love, the famous Clint D, right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Don't forget, we're about 10 minutes away, maybe a touch less, from a conversation with Eric Mouton, head basketball coach, athletics director for Ascension Episcopal. Number of different topics I want to touch on with him. But back to the interview with Shea, one thing you didn't hear him say, largely because, you know, I didn't ask him, didn't put it on a tee for him, what else is happening in the state? I could fill you in there. Earlier this afternoon, DeSanto Rollins, three-star defensive tackle from Parkview Baptist in Baton Rouge, committed to Ole Miss, a young man who just took a visit out to Colorado, had some other interest in the SEC West, I believe maybe TCU as well, listed at 6'3", 261. And so this will be a prospect from Baton Rouge that's heading to play for the Landsharks and Hotty Toddy in Oxford. I don't think the Tigers are necessarily sweating it, at least right now. Am I telling you DeSanto Rollins won't turn into a heck of a football player and a regrettable miss for LSU? No, because at this juncture, we never know. But Shea gave you the three guys that the Tigers are really keying on right now along the defensive line. Now that they've been able to reel in Patrick Jenkins from John Arrett, they've got three other targets. DeSanto Rollins apparently wasn't one of them, but just something you should know is that Rollins has chosen Ole Miss. Again, that happened earlier this afternoon. All right, it's time to switch gears, and I think you're going to enjoy this today. At least I know that I will. Before the real enjoyable part, here's something you need to know. It's a PSA for those locally. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website. You'll become a believer. It's patiocenter.com, and they've got the finest shades and screens, the retractable shades and screens that you'll find anywhere throughout Acadiana. They've got the customized patio covers with the cypress accents and the standing seam metal awnings that'll make your dreams come true outside before 2020 and maybe even before this football season, before LSU, UL, and the Saints go marching in, but only if you hurry to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Manny Machado has got the Major League Baseball umps big mad. And I mean all kinds of mad. I'll set it up for you. Last night, playing in Mile High at the Colorado Rockies, Machado struck out in the fifth inning, and he didn't like it. Not one bit. Took umbrage, a lot of it, in fact, with plate umpire Bill Welke. After he was rung up, Machado went behind home plate and absolutely threw a tirade. And I mean a temper tantrum for the ages. If you read his lips, you can hear him saying, "All bleeping game! All bleeping game!" Yeah, he didn't like the strike zone, and he didn't like getting rung up. The bigger problem, though, is that Machado actually made some contact in his little tirade. And for that, Major League Baseball suspended him for one game. This is not something that has gone over well so far. MLB Chief Baseball Officer Joe Torre imposed the one-game punishment, saying it was for, quote-unquote, aggressively arguing and making contact. Machado denies that he made contact. Look, I've watched that thing about 10 times. If he did, it was fairly minor, but still, maybe the appearance, the propriety of it didn't go over well. With the Major League Baseball Umpires Association, here's what they posted to Facebook last night, or earlier today, excuse me. I love how Facebook is now the new battleground here. Quote, "One game? One single game? What kind of precedent is that setting? It is not," all caps, N-O-T, "it is not okay to throw a temper tantrum and physically touch someone of authority just because you don't agree. Violence in all workplaces is not tolerated, period." All right, then. And they went even further. The MLBUA called the one-game suspension a disgrace. They continued on. "Major League Baseball has to always lead by example in all cases of violent behavior on and off the field. With that being said, the MLBUA is extraordinarily disappointed in Major League Baseball for its disciplinary, quote-unquote, inaction handed down to Manny Machado. So hopefully we haven't heard the end of this. It's starting to get a little spicy. Machado whimpered, whined, and if he made some contact, I don't think we have heard the end of this. The MLBUA, they're trying to throw more than shade. They want to throw the book right now at Manny Machado.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
All I will say to the Padres, sometimes you get what you trade for. A lot of talent, but certainly there is a temper there. All right, we got to head to a break. I know, a short segment. The good news, a really, really good interview is coming your way. I'm looking forward to catching up with our man Eric Mouton, and we will right after this commercial break. So don't go anywhere. The head basketball coach of Ascension Episcopal coming up next. A lot of topics to touch on. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
To the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
Back in one more time during the 5 o'clock hour, and we're ready to end with a bang. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. We'll waste no time. Our next guest, he not only likes to talk, he's actually good at it, and that makes my life and this show so much better. Let's get out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. He wears a lot of hats, but primarily AD, head basketball coach of the one and only Blue Gators of Ascension Episcopal, Eric Mouton, joining us. Coach, how the heck are you this summer?
Doing good, Ben. How you doing today, man? Thanks for having me.
Hey, life is good here, and before we get into a couple of really cool camps that you're going to be hosting, including one next week, you guys had a heck of an academic calendar year. I'd love for you to look back and take us through the fall and a very, very productive spring for the Blue Gators.
Yeah, we did, man. We got off to a good start in the fall with our swim team, our girls' swim team with Colleen Barczyk. We've had some great swimmers come through. Coach Colleen had two of her daughters come through, and this year, Jillian Barczyk, who never lost a high school swim event that she participated in, led our girls to the first ever state championship swim title in school's history. So that was done in the fall. And then winter, we had our soccer team. Boys soccer had never won a playoff game, finally won a playoff game this year. Our girls were always good. They made it to the semifinals in soccer. Basketball teams both had great years. And then once the spring rolled around, we were able to win two more state championships. The boys' golf team defended their title as state champions, and the girls' tennis team won their fifth straight state championship, along with our baseball team finishing up state runner-up. So it was a great calendar year, three more championships, a couple of more state runner-up titles. Volleyball was also state runner-up along with baseball. So, man, you're absolutely right, another great year for the Blue Gator athletes and coaches.
Coach Eric Mouton, our guest on 103.7 The Game. And there's so much fluctuation that's going on with classifications. We have area teams that will be moving up and down. Just as an example, LCA going to be following the lead of the Blue Gators from a few years back and moving up to 2A. How would you classify, I guess, how things have gone so far? From being a team that was for so long in District 7-1A, moving up in classification, what's it been like?
Yeah, the past 2 years have been challenging. You know, they've been rewarding, though. You know, I think we were ready to move up. That's what our numbers dictated, and that's what the LHSA said. You know, we didn't try to mess with any numbers or get away with it or try to stay 1A for two more years. We were right there. We were ready, and I think the production that we have showed that we were ready. And, again, we'll be there for another 2 years as we're rezoned. As we redistrict for everyone, but we're going to stay right where we are in a very competitive, tough district, kind of down that Highway 90 area in 2A with Catholic High, Franklin, West St. Mary, Generette, Delcom. and those people. And then Homa Christian is actually joining us. They move up to 2A, so they're going to be joining us in that district. But I think we had a great year all the way around. And you know, a lot of people are starting to talk about the fall already with football. Volleyball moved up a class. Swimming's there to defend their state championship. So a lot of good things happening. And, man, we feel comfortable at 2A.
Very cool. All right, we got to talk about something else that it's just perfect for summertime. You've got not one, but two weekly camps coming up. And so tell us about what Dr. Fundamentals is cooking. We'll begin with next week, beginning June 24th. This one's going to be at the Ascension Gym on the Youngsville campus. Tell us all about it and invite the folks, would you?
Exactly, man. We start next week. We go 5 days, and we're going to start on June 24th. That's the Monday. Walk-ups are welcome 30 minutes before camp starts. The first session in the morning will be our pre-K 4 through 4th graders. We'll have all the goals low down to 8, 8.5 feet. So that'll start at 8:30. Walk-up registration starts at 8. That morning session will go from 8:30 to 12:30. Then at 12:30, we're going to start walk-up registration for our older kids. That's going to be the 5th through 8th graders. We'll raise the goals back up to 10 feet, and those kids will go 1 to 5. So it's the morning, it's the young ones. Afternoon next week, it's the older ones, and we'll be right out there near Rouse's, right down Shimon Metairie on the right. You can't miss it. For more information, you can visit my website, drfundamentals.com, and that's drfundamentals.com, and I've got all the information on there. You can click on a link to register online. If you want to reserve your spot right now, you can do that at our website, ascensionbluegators.org, and summer at Ascension will get you registered. We've got prizes. We've got T-shirts. We've got bags for them this year. So we got a lot of stuff to give away next week. We're going to do the young ones in the morning, the older ones in the afternoon. And then we'll come back July 19th, Ben, and we're going to go to our downtown campus in downtown Lafayette near the UL campus. We got a beautiful gym down there. And that week is going to be afternoon only, but I'm taking all of them, pre-K 4 through 8th grade, and we're going to go 1 to 5. We have enough room in there to bring both groups in. Half of the court will be 8-foot goals. Other half will be 10-foot, and we're going to do the same thing, man. We're going to get after it. A lot of fundamentals, learn the game. We got some special guests coming in to give some talks and to give some demonstrations on how to play the game the right way. Individual competitions, team competitions, we got it all, Ben.
That's a beautiful thing. And, you know, it triggers memories of camps that I attended as a youngster in the Baton Rouge area. How about you? What do you remember? The camps that kind of got you thinking the right way about the game, the stuff that got you excited during summers of your youth, what would you recall?
Well, I grew up a raging Cajun fan, and my dad had season tickets in Blackham Coliseum to go watch Andrew Toney and Graylin Warner and some of the greats that played in the barn, in the Cow Palace, they used to call it, before we moved into the Cajun Dome. So we'd go there, and Bobby Passel would have camp, and I remember seeing all of those guys coming to camp and helping out and trying to teach us how to play the right way and just saying, man, one of these days, you know, when I grow up, that's what I want to do. I want to be a raging Cajun. So I know Coach Marlin has some great camps over there at UL, and the kids can go to camp, and a lot of the players in those programs work the camps. They can get to know them. They can kind of see how things are done at each program, and it's a great thing. And, you know, it allows these kids to dream. It allows these kids to set goals. And the only way to reach those goals is to work. You know, you don't get what you want. You get what you work for. So if you come to these camps and you learn from different coaches, it had a big impact on people's lives and a big impact on these kids and where they're headed.
Coming down the stretch with our guy, Coach Eric Mouton over at Ascension Episcopal, just told you about his camps. And I wanted to ask you about Eli, his first year walking on, playing with Bob Marlin's Raging Cajuns. I guess that experience for him, but also he's had the chance to, I would imagine, practice a good bit with the few guys that had to sit out last year. Some more transfers, local kids from the Baton Rouge area, Jalen Johnson, I'm thinking, the young man who had to sit out with injury from Madison Prep, Kobe Julian. So I'll pick your brain on his experience, but also maybe what's coming next for the Cajuns.
Well, Eli had a great experience. You know, we appreciate Coach Marlin so much and the staff and what they allowed Eli to do. But this may be a little bit of breaking news, Ben, but we had a chance to visit with Coach Marlin, and Eli has decided to leave the program. He is actually going to go to a junior college where he can get more playing time. And believe it or not, he's going right down the road. He's going to LSU East.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to play for Coach Byron Starks for 1 year at LSU East and then see what happens from there. Coach Marlin was great about it. He understood. He's like, look, Eli, you know, you've got some talent. You can play. If you want to go play, go ahead. The door's always open for you over here. So Coach Marlin could not have been nicer and more professional about it. So we're not leaving on bad terms. We're always going to be raging Cajun fans. But Eli's going to explore other options, and he'll be at LSU East next year in the fall and play for Coach Starks.
How about that? And I appreciate you sharing it with us. Look, you ask questions, live radio, you never know. But I would say this.
Exactly.
If anybody has seen Eli Mouton and what he can do on a basketball court, it would be Byron Starks. Basically, other than you, he probably put up about 800 career points on LCA, right?
You know, he was Byron tried to get him. You know, we went on a little visit last year, and Byron tried to get him to go there last year. And, you know, Eli couldn't pass up that offer from Coach Marlin. No scholarship, but look, we have a jersey for you. So he took the jersey there. Coach Marlin was Coach Starks was actually a promoter of Eli as he was coming out, even though we did not go there. Every coach he talked to, you know, he talked about what he thought of Eli. And, you know, we appreciate that so much, and we appreciate Coach Starks giving him the opportunity. And there's a couple of other local kids that Eli's played against that are going to be there. So Eli is excited. He's got a little part-time job here in town over the summertime. He's working on his game. He's in the weight room, and he's looking forward to heading to junior college. He'll have 1 year over there to play, Ben, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Really cool. I'm glad that you shared it again. Hey, before we let you go, I'll get you to put on your cap that you had as a color analyst this year with Dan McDonald. So you saw this Cajuns team in 2018-19. Yeah. You know what's coming back. Tell us about what they got next year.
Man, the kids they got sitting out, you know, you mentioned a few of them. They're talented. You know, they went off to a couple of big schools, and they're coming back. I think they've got a nice little group. Obviously, you lose the big three, you know, with Marchetti going down early. And then Stroman and Gant, he loses those two guys. Very difficult to replace. But I think they did a great job. I got a chance to see a couple of those high school kids that they signed from Louisiana at the state championship when I did that for Cox. And those kids can play now. They can play. Coach Marlin and his staff, I know, have been working hard. They got them back in the gym. And a lot of people think losing those three kids are going to hurt and maybe take a step back. But I think Coach Marlin's going to have those guys ready to play. Got a good nucleus of youngins here. Good ones coming in. Looking forward to watching them play this year.
Great, great interview. That was never in doubt. But, Coach, I appreciate you coming aboard, delivering as always. And we look forward to Dr. Fundamentals. Not once, but twice. Again, the first one coming up this weekend at the Youngsville campus of Ascension Episcopal. Part two is downtown Lafayette at that campus on July 19. Looking forward to it. Coach, thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Go to drfundamentals.com, and there's some contact information there if anybody has any other questions. But would love to have as many kids as we can, teach them how to play the game the right way. Thank you, Ben.
How about it? You just never know when you might break a little news. And now, well, we got to hit our final break of the program. Actually, we're done. We got to send this thing over to the Queen City, to Cincinnati. Justin Verlander and the Strohs taking on the Reds. And just like that, we're out of time. Our thanks to Shea Dixon. And that was a great interview with Eric Mouton. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 4. Enjoy the Astros. Enjoy your evening. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. And you've been listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.